Huh. There's no one here to make fun of me or tell me I'm dumb. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Oh shit, I didn't look at the date. Oh no, I see why he does this now. It's June 12th. I knew that. Yeah, I know it's 2014, so there it is. I am your host for the evening. Your ghost host. No, that's not true. I'm AJ. I am not joined by my brother Michael. He is drinking a beer in Los Angeles after covering E3 all week, so he's actually there. I'm stuck in Pittsburgh. So I'm going to be doing this show this week. I'm going to go through, really I'm going to focus on the big three media briefings and talk about a few other random things. Also, we got some calls in this week. I've tried something new. We set up a Google Voice number, so we'll listen to some of those throughout the show. We got a bunch from Mike and a few more from other listeners, so we'll be able to check those out, see what you all thought of E3 and what was shown, and we will go from there. So, without further ado, let's get into Microsoft's showing at E3. As usual, they went first, and unusually, instead of ending with Call of Duty as they have in years past, they started with it. So we got to see a lengthy kind of gameplay demo of Call of Duty Advanced Warfighter, and I thought it looked really strong. You know, everyone's been kind of cooling off on Call of Duty. I didn't even play Ghosts at all, but this looked interesting at least. It had a kind of a Titanfall sort of thing with the double jumping with jet boots, which is kind of ironic because, you know, the whole Titanfall from Call of Duty thing. But, you know, at least was interesting. It was more sci-fi than I would have expected with, like, the cool, like, swarm of nanobots coming. And I like how grounded it feels when the guy just rips the car door off and, like, uses that as a shield against the nanobots. It's just kind of neat little touches like that. So, who knows? This could be kind of a nice little return to relevance, I guess, for Call of Duty. That's maybe the wrong word. People still play it. But interest for the people who listen to this show and others of such ilk. Also looked really good. Like, I'm glad to see, like, it doesn't seem to be suffering too much from cross-genning. I wonder what, like, the 360 version will look like. Speaking of having a 360 version, they showed Forza Horizon 2 coming to Xbox One and 360. They announced a kind of neat little thing that I appreciate, and that is, it sounds like they're using Drivatar data from Forza 5 to at least get the Drivatar started in Horizon 2. They said, actually, right now, your Drivatars are already racing in Horizon 2, which I think is kind of neat. It'll be fun to check that game out. You know, it's going to have a dynamic weather system, big open world, and I like Forza 5, so that should be fun. Also, I downloaded the Nürburgring, which they released for free in Forza 5. And I can see why people were bummed it wasn't in the game. It's super fun. It's like a 16-mile track. Took me a good 10 and a half minutes to finish in a Corvette, and it was just a really cool track. So nice that they got that out there finally. Next was Evolve, and this game has a lot of people buzzing, Mike included, which I'll let him talk about that more at the end here. But he's really high on it, and it sounds like this is going to be kind of, if you've got like a crew that you could play online with, like if you have yourself and four other friends, this sounds like it's going to be an excellent game for you to check out. They revealed a new monster type in this trailer. It had kind of like a Cthulhu vibe to it, so it's kind of neat that they're not really limiting themselves what the monsters look like. They're not going to look like just big beasts or anything like that, so I'm looking very forward to that one. Then they showed a gameplay demo of Assassin's Creed Unity, where it was revealed that the game will actually have four-player co-op. Look really solid. Of course, you know, it's a super rehearsed gameplay demo, so, you know, take some of it with a grain of salt. Like, will you and your friends, like, time everything perfectly? We'll see. But actually, why don't we cut to Mike and let him get some of his thoughts in on it?
Hey, it's Mike again. So I just wanted to talk about that that press conference that we saw from Microsoft. I thought it was pretty good. You know, I like that it was just games after game after game. I thought Assassin's Creed looked especially good, which is, you know, maybe some people are sick of Assassin's Creed, but I'm kind of glad to see it back in a big city. I know AJ, me and you, and maybe Chris and someone else, we can have a lot of fun with that co-op campaign mode. I thought it got a little grisly at the end. I mean, I know it's a game about murdering people, but I don't know if I need to see a decapitated head blinking and all that. But, yeah, I'm down for some screed. I'm glad to see a new Crackdown's coming. So, hey, I thought they did it pretty good, you know? I'm glad we didn't have to hear about other things except for games. Just all games all the time. I was pleased.
So Microsoft and Ubisoft managed to impress Mike, which is no easy feat. So, Assassin's Creed. I wonder, it's weird, they didn't show any of the 360 version of, like, whatever the other Assassin's Creed game is. That, did they officially announce that? Maybe they didn't. I don't know, I can't remember now. But they didn't mention 360 at all at this conference, aside from to say Horizon 2 was coming to as well. That was interesting. Also, the Kinect was uttered once. They even showed, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but they talked about Fantasia and Dance Central Spotlight, and never even said the word Kinect, which I thought was telling of kind of where they're focusing right now. But I digress. Let's get back on track. They showed a Dragon Age Inquisition trailer, and I am super hot on that game. Dragon Age 2, it was fine, but it was a little bit of a disappointment. It definitely felt rushed. This feels like they got the time to actually make a full-blown sequel to Dragon's Age, finally. Looks gorgeous running on the Frostbite engine. It's going to be really special, at least I hope. Open world, fighting dragons, kind of sounds like Skyrim, but that's okay because I love Skyrim. Then we got a trailer, a very funny trailer, and gameplay demo of Sunset Overdrive. A lot of people are high on this game. I'm always a fan of, like, cool, fun traversal in a game, so this has that in spades. Mike played it. We talked on the phone about this one. Again, he'll probably talk more about this next week. He wasn't quite so hot on it after playing. Said he died a lot, but maybe he's just bad at video games, so we could just probably chalk it up to that. Now, the next one, and I have to go pull up the name for this because I forget it, but it is DLC for Dead Rising 3, and it is called Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix Hyper Edition EX Plus Alpha, which is just fantastic. It's nice to see that Capcom is kind of aware that they're dumb sometimes, and they're just rolling with it. So this is... It was available immediately, DLC for Dead Rising 3 that adds a four-player arcade fun co-op mode, where it's just you goofing off with three friends, cosplaying as Capcom characters, giving pile drivers to zombies. Looks like good fun. It's like, I'd almost rather play that than Dead Rising 3. It's kind of like what happened with Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, right? Except that was standalone. I really kind of wish this was standalone, because I want to play it, but not so bad that I need to... Like, I could always borrow Mike's copy of Dead Rising, but I want to play it with him, so I'm not going to go buy Dead Rising 3 just to do that, I don't think. So, yeah, I probably won't ever play it, but I appreciate it. Fantasia, Dance Central, I mentioned those. Fable Legends! This is another one, I don't think Mike played it. He's cool on it just because I think he's kind of done with Fable, but I... really like the concept of this game, the idea. Again, this seems to be like the new thing to do, but four players playing against one player who is, in this case, kind of a AI, or not AI, but like a trap-placing dungeon master who's kind of manipulating AI so that, monsters spawn at certain places, certain events will happen. I also liked when four players are playing, I'm a sucker for games that have good, like, kind of... ambient banter between the characters is part of what I like so much about Team Fortress 2. And this game seemed to have that going on. A lot of people saying, I want a single player Fable. We had Fable 3. Less said about that, the better. Honestly, I mean, what I liked the most about Fable 2 from my time playing it was the art style and the combat. The story's kind of neither here nor there. So... since this is basically going to be like a cooperative multiplayer game with Fable's art style and combat, I'm right on board with this. I think it looks fantastic, and I look forward to it. They have the beta launching in the fall. I don't know if that means the full game will be out. And I should mention, Microsoft did a very nice thing where they said the first chunk of games are all games coming out in 2014. So everything I've talked about is this year. And then they showed a 2015 block. Well, a future block, I guess. So... they kind of squeeze this one in here by having the beta coming, but hey, whatever. Project Spark, I mean, it's a known quantity. I've tried it myself. I need to go into it and just, like, play people's creations and see what that's like. Creation and these sort of things, you think to yourself, oh yeah, I'm going to make this amazing thing. And you sit down, you're like, oh, I don't feel like doing this. But they announced Conquer in the game, which was really weird. I guess they're just going to let fans make a Conquer game since they don't want to. Better than nothing, maybe? I don't know. It was odd, but hey, whatever. Some people like, you know, drunk squirrels. Then they showed what was possibly my biggest surprise of E3 and one of my most anticipated games now, called Ori and the Blind Forest. It was this gorgeous-looking kind of sort of Rayman, sort of Miyazaki-looking thing where you played this, like, forest spirit. People have described it as a Metroidvania who have played it, but it just looked gorgeous. The music was great. I anticipate this being really, really fun, and I'm looking very forward to it. Their final 2014 announcement was the Halo Master Chief Collection. So this is for $60. You get Halo 1 Anniversary Edition, the all-new Halo 2 Anniversary Edition, 1080p 60 frame Halo 3, and 1080p 60 frame Halo 4. In addition to that, they took 6 of the Halo 2 maps and gave those kind of an anniversary treatment as far as multiplayer goes. But then they have every map from all 4 of the Halo multiplayer games running in their original engine with the original balance. And this includes like all DLC, maps that were exclusive to the PC version of Halo Combat Evolved. It's over 100 multiplayer maps. And when you really think about it, this is the first time on a console that true Halo 1 multiplayer has been online on Xbox Live. I'm a huge sucker for Halo games. I really do enjoy them. So I think it'd be cool to like be in the playlist. It's like, okay, we're going to play Blood Gulch from Halo 1. Now we're going to play this Halo 2 map. Like, all the balance has changed now using loadouts and, you know, the Needler sucks now. And then we're going to bounce to Halo 2, and it's going to be one of the enhanced maps. And just kind of going all over, like, that's going to be neat. They also added, like, playlists to the single player so that you can actually, like, the one description I heard was, like, just play all the Warthog levels from all 4 Halo games, just, like, successively. Really neat. It's also nice that everything's unlocked, all the chapters, everything. So that, you know, you don't have to play through all of Halo 2 to get to a particular scene you like, or you could skip the flood levels or do whatever you want. They also announced Halo Nightfall, which is part of the whole Halo TV series thing that is going to start leading up to Halo 5 Guardians. And buying this collection will get you into the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta in December. So that's a lot of Halo for $60. Some people are dismissive of it, but I tell you this, there are a lot of Halo fans. And there's a lot of younger Halo fans who, I mean, let's face it, it was 13 years ago that Halo 1 came out. I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, teenagers who like Halo, maybe played Halo 4, maybe they like Call of Duty, who never played the first couple Halo games. So this is going to be a great entry point for a lot of people. So as we transition into beyond 2014, Phil Spencer came out wearing a Limbo shirt, and he showed Inside. Now, this game looks really special. Again, the Limbo devs and their hatred of children cast a small boy as a protagonist who has to, I don't know what he's doing. He's just in like this place. It kind of looks like almost a concentration camp, kind of like a weird laboratory. It looks gorgeous. And then at the end, the boy and all these people are like pressed up against this glass trying to look inside. And it's just like, what are they looking at? What's in there? What's in there? And just fades to black. So that'll be really awesome. Very excited for that. They showed an ID at Xbox montage that had a whole ton of games in it. It kind of went by quick, like nothing really got focused, but it does show after kind of the knock on the chin they took last year when Sony showed so many indies that, yes, they have indies coming as well. A note in that for me was a game called Cuphead that looks like a 1930s, 1940s, like, animated cartoon, like with the rubber hose animation, the kind of jittery lighting. Looked really cool, so that'll be neat to see more of that. Then we got what was actually our first pure CG showing from Microsoft, and that was a tease for the new Rise of the Tomb Raider. Not too much to say about it. It just showed Lara Croft in therapy and then also going through a tomb. But everyone liked the last Tomb Raider. No reason to believe this shouldn't be at least as good. Some people are hoping this means it's going to go more into actual tombs and have more to do with exploration than murdering people. So that could be fun. Then we got a very nice gameplay demo of The Witcher 3, which, man, this game, again, open world, hunting monsters. That game's going to be great. I mean, the first two Witcher games are so cool in their own right. And the way that they, like, Witcher 2 was not just more Witcher 1. They really took it and said, okay, how do we evolve this? And they seem to have done that again. So very, very excited for that game. Comes out 2 days after my birthday, Mike Zor's just saying. Phantom Dust. Huh? I vaguely remember the original Phantom Dust being a thing. I don't think I ever played it. But from what I understand, it's like a weird action-adventure mixed with a card game thing. I think it's cool they're bringing it back, because why not? I like what Phil Spencer said as he was getting ready to announce this. It was a well-designed game, and that's what made it worth bringing back. Obviously, it has its fans. People were very excited. And, you know, if you didn't know what Phantom Dust is, just pretend it's new IP and get excited. There you go. The Division from Ubisoft was shown next. And again, this game continues to just amaze me. This looks like it's going to be so much fun. Again, to get a group of your friends, go out exploring, and just have so much fun with this game. I like the system they show where it seems like as you're leading up to an encounter, you take a second to kind of equip the skills that you think you're going to need for that upcoming skirmish. Like, just everything about that just looks so great to me. I just hope my friends are as good at role-playing their characters as these actors in the stage demos are. So next we saw a site from Platinum game called Scalebound. It was just a CG trailer. It was weird at first. So there's this kid with like Beats by Dre headphones. He's being chased by a giant monster and then runs into a dragon, and the monster and the dragon start fighting, and you kind of realize he's with the dragon. Then he puts on scale armor and attacks the monster and then flies his dragon. I wasn't the only one confused by this. We actually have a call from a longtime listener of the show, Muhammad.
Hi, this is Muhammad Al-Hurais. Regarding the Xbox One E3 conference, I was kind of surprised with the stuff that they mentioned on the stuff that they announced on the conference, and I was kind of confused about Scalebound. Personally, I'm not a big Platinum Games fan, not because I don't like the games or anything. I just didn't have the time to play them. But that the game that they showed was absolutely confusing. It showed nothing. Otherwise, I'm really excited about Crackdown and Sunset Overdrive. Thank you.
No, thank you, because my mouth is getting really dry and I need to take a break. But in sincerity, thank you, Muhammad, for your call. I'm also looking forward to Crackdown and Sunset Overdrive, which we'll talk about Crackdown right now, because that was next and last. So we see it's not called Crackdown 3, it's just Crackdown. Again, a CG trailer seems to imply co-op again being a big element of this. And man, the tone of the trailer where they take out a guy by shooting a building at him. I mean, come on, that's awesome. Hopefully, you know, this isn't Crackdown 2 where it's like, oh, everyone likes zombies. Hopefully it's a return to form of the original Crackdown. And the thing that I think is going to make it neat is, I don't know if anyone else saw this, but a few months back, Microsoft showed some little demo of how the cloud can assist physics rendering. So they had this like building and they started shooting it, and like the frame rate just took a nosedive. Like, we're talking, you know, frames per minute, and you know, like all these pieces were falling and just couldn't keep up with it. Then they turned on the cloud and bam, you had this building collapsing into a tiny, like, brick by brick, 60 frames per second. Apparently, that was some sort of testing ground for Crackdown. So Crackdown, everyone is going to use the cloud. I know everyone's always kind of made fun of Microsoft for it. But if that brings, say, a Battlefield level of destructibility, but turned up to the next level, to the Crackdown universe, that is going to be way, way fun. So that was Microsoft's show. if you watched it, the presentation of it was literally like, here's a game, here's a game. This is a developer. Hi, I'm a developer. Let me show you my game. Here's the game. Here's the game. It was nonstop, like, bam, 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 just games. They got the message. There's no Kinect. There was no TV stuff except for the mention of the thing being included on the Halo disc. The pace was snappy, and they just showed a lot of solid stuff. Yeah, there was nothing mind-blowingly announced. Honestly, to me, the biggest mind-blow was Ori. Yeah, we found out there's a new Tomb Raider coming. That's great. Phantom Dust was out of nowhere. Inside, again, also looks spectacular. But, you know, some people called it a safe conference. And I guess, yeah, you could say that. But you say safe conference. I say I'm looking at this list of games, and I kind of want to get every single one of these. Like, there's really nothing on this list. I'm like, ugh, no, not for me. I mean, I guess I'd need to see more of Scalebound, because I'm kind of hit or miss with Platinum. Obviously, I'm not going to buy every one of those indie games, because there's like 20 of them. But super solid showing. I'm happy to have an Xbox One. So after that, we had EA and Ubisoft conferences. I'm not really going to get into them, just because I feel like it'll take me forever. Those games were showed at the other conferences, so we'll talk about them as we go along here. So we'll move on now. Actually, before I move on to Sony, Mike has some wrap-up thoughts. So why don't we hear what he has to say?
Hey, guys. Mike again. I'm just actually waiting for the doors to open for the first day of E3. But I want to talk to you a little bit about a couple of the games I played actually yesterday at a Microsoft event before the show. One of them was Evolve, which I think AJ will tell you more about, but it was just a really cool game. It seems like it's going to be kind of the ultimate co-op experience. At least for me, AJ, and my brother's friends, I think it's the thing we're going to move on to for Titanfall. The other one was Ori, which was that deal. It's a very awesome Metroidvania-style game. I think that's something that should be on everyone's radar. All right, guys, talk to you soon.
So there you have it, Evolve. Mike is high on it. I would also like to now take a moment to thank our sponsors for this show, Great Lakes Brewing Company and their Chillwave Double IPA. Keeping your throat hydrated and letting you go to sleep after this, you can wake up at 4 in the morning and drive 2.5 hours to Cleveland to pick up your brother and his friend. Chillwave. Hang on. Delicious. All right, let's go to Sony. Sony started with Destiny. They're really, really hammering this as a, you know, it's multi-plat for everything, but they want you to think of the PlayStation when you think of Destiny. They have DLC coming exclusively to them. They're getting the beta first. And in fact, today, they began the early first look alpha running from today until Sunday. So I'm going to talk a little bit because I actually just spent an hour and a half before recording this playing the alpha. And this game is going to be something great. I tell you what, you know, it's you break it down, and yeah, it's real easy to say it's kind of Halo mixed with Borderlands with a little bit of, you know, Mass Effect thrown in there and like the multiplayer mechanics of Journey. And yes, that's all true, but it's way more than the sum of its parts. The, you know, yes, the shooting, it's very Halo. It's that kind of slower pace that I think works really well for a console game. You know, the kind of floaty jumps, the weapons feel very much like Halo, except they do have, you know, you're holding down the left trigger to go down the barrel, so that's a little bit of a departure from Halo games. But the world that they've built just feels really interesting. So the way the gameplay works, because I feel like no one's really laid this out very well, but from what I've gathered, the game starts you off in just a kind of structured mission, which is really just you kind of going from A to B, fighting something at the end, and then getting some reward at the end of it. So that was very, kind of felt like your standard shooter. But it was good because it, you know, it let me get acclimated with the game, acclimate myself and my character, and I made a warlock who's kind of like, you know, he's like, he throws balls of energy and has like a cool melee attack. Really, I picked him because he wears like a cowboy duster, and I want to wear a cowboy duster in this game. But so you finish that level. I went to the main town in the game, which actually, like I said, this felt very Mass Effect. It pops you out the third person. You're walking around, going to vendors. This is where you can get some quests, some bounties, buy items. felt very Mass Effect. Then you just go back to the planet, Earth, the planet. It's actually old Russia. And you choose the option where you're just kind of dropped to this environment, and you just start exploring. And you're looking, and they show up on your HUD, for beacons. And the beacons give you quests. Some of the quests will be just kill a bunch of enemies in this area. Some will be to go explore an area. Some are to eliminate a target. Some are to collect data. And as you're playing, it is very much like Journey, where you'll just be moving along, and then you'll just see a player kind of off in the distance. So you run up and join them and shoot some guys with them, and maybe they're on the same quest as you. Maybe they're not. Maybe you'll just fight this room and then split off. Maybe, you know, you could click on them, you can invite them to join your group, or you could join theirs if they have one. So I moved along, kind of as I was working my way towards this objective I had. I'd see some pockets of players. At one point, we got to an area where, like, everything was, like, twice my level, but I ran into three other guys. So we're working together to get through this area, because we needed to work together to be able to fight these things. And we got to just this random side mission that started, where we had to prevent a very powerful alien boss mob from escaping. And unfortunately, we did fail. I actually ran out of ammo, which didn't help things. But just the way that all played out was very cool, to just emergently drop into four-player co-op, go on this mission with these guys, and then when it was done, just go on my merry way. Completely seamless, didn't interrupt really what I was doing. The way that worked was really fascinating to me. And I could tell, too, that when you actually go in with a group, it's just going to be way fun to play this game. I'm looking really forward to it now. I already was anticipating it, but having gotten to play it now, it's going to be fun. So we go from that to the Order 1886, which looked gorgeous. I just wasn't... The gameplay they chose to showcase really didn't do it for me. It's just like, you know, the guy was running from the Lycan and shooting it, but it didn't seem to matter if he shot it or not. Then, like, it's this cutscene, and for some reason it wants you to hit a triangle. I don't know why I couldn't just keep going. Then you shoot at the Lycan again, but it doesn't seem to matter to tackle the guy. From what I've heard, that's not, like, you know, the game is not just a series of corridors and QTEs. It's, like, you know, a shooter, so that's good. And I want this game to be good, because, again, it does look really, really pretty. They then showed a game called Entwined, which is a indie game that was released, like, during the show. And it was funny. I guess I should mention, so I actually was at the Sony Experience event at a local theater with my brother Chris. And, you know, they're saying, like, you could download this, you know, get out your phone and buy it right now, and it'll be waiting on your PS4 when you get home. And I said, you know what? I am going to do that, Andrew House, or whoever told me to do it. So I tried to find it at first, and it wasn't, like, there yet. I'm like, okay, whatever, that's fine. So I tried it towards the end of the show, and it kept giving me an error. And I was like, okay, like, maybe their servers are hit hard or something. Then I found out I'm getting $5 in PlayStation credit sometime next week for having gone to the show, so I guess I'll wait. But, you know, I've heard it described as kind of like a Rez sort of Brothers sort of thing, so looks good. I'll be sure to check it out. They announced Infamous standalone DLC called Infamous First Light, which focuses on Fetch, one of the characters from Second Son. I'm glad it's standalone, because I traded it in already. So I'll get to play it. That's exciting. I mean, I liked Infamous a lot, actually. It's just once I beat it, I was like, I guess I'm kind of done with it. So that's nice of them. Little Big Planet 3 was shown, not by Media Molecule, but by Sumo Digital. And it's unfortunate. It wasn't their fault. I'm sure it was something to do with, like, controller delay input up on the stage. But in a series that's often criticized for the imprecision of its jumping mechanic, they had a rough time getting through that demo, just missing really basic looking jumps. So again, I'm sure it's relatively fine. It was just, you know, the live stage environment. I mean, at least we know they weren't faking it, I guess. But still, the game should be fun. It oozes charm and personality. You have three new playable characters in addition to Sackboy. Mike did get to play it. He said that he thought the co-op was really fun, so probably will be worth checking out. Then all the hardcore gamers got excited for the announcement of the spiritual successor to Dark Souls called Bloodborne. This was originally released as Project Something. It was Project something. I don't know. I forget. I'm not a Dark Souls guy. I've been meaning to try it. I actually have a copy on my PC of the first Dark Souls. I promise I'll play it someday soon. But this is... apparently, it's the big difference is instead of fighting demons, you're fighting, like, monsters. Like, kind of like werewolves and, you know, very Van Helsing, Victorian England-looking stuff. So, it's PlayStation 4 exclusive. It looks really pretty from what I saw of it, so that'll be cool. Again, I'll try Dark Souls soon and then decide if I am ready for this. But, you know, it'll be good, I think. People like Dark Souls, they'll like this. Far Cry 4 was shown next, which was also shown at Ubisoft's event. So we have a main character named AJ, so I'm a little obligated to at least check this game out. But the cool thing is the way they announced a PlayStation exclusive kind of sort of demo sort of thing for the game, where you'll be able to give a certain number of, like, tokens or tickets to your friends, and the people who have those can play the game for free as long as they're playing online with you. So that's very cool, you know, nice little way to get the game out there. I wonder, like, how many people just not buy the game because of that, but maybe we'll get someone that actually want to go out and buy it so they can play it by themselves. Again, it's kind of more Far Cry, you know, big open world, looks very pretty. You're taking out compounds and stuff like that, but should be good. Dead Island 2 was shown next with a trailer. I would hope we're all a little cautious about Dead Island trailers after last time. But it at least seems like the game is going to match this same tone, where from the way Jeff Cannata had described after he talked about playing the game, he saw some play, I forget. But it's like these characters in the game act like the way gamers usually act in an open-world zombie game, where you think it's fun, you think it's cool, you're like, hey, this is great, I'm in this cool setting, just like destroying zombies and like doing whatever I want. And like that's the mindset of the characters in the game. So that could make it fun. They then showed Battlefield Hardline, the worst-kept secret in gaming, I think, of all E3. In fact, after the Sony theater event, they had like 30 minutes of exclusive interviews done by Jeff Keighley, and he's interviewing the Battlefield Hardline guy, and he said something like, so you guys just announced Hardline to the world tonight? You must be very excited. And it's like, nah, we kind of already knew, haha. But whatever. I mean, it's Battlefield Cops and Robbers. Actually, Mike played it after he went to EA's event, so I'm going to let him talk about that now.
Hey, it's Mike, straight from L.A., waiting for a cab. Got out of EA. Hey, that rhymed. So I got to play a little bit of Hardline right after the press conference. And, you know, I thought it was fun, but, I mean, it feels so much like Battlefield 4, and it looks so much like Battlefield 4. I mean, it could have very well have been DLC, you know? I mean... and the multiplayer is fun, you know, you have to go get the cash, you have to bring it back to your base, and steal the cash from the other base, but, you know, essentially it's a variation on, you know, Capture the Flag, so I'm kind of interested to see what else there is to this, because otherwise it feels like they're kind of trying really hard to make Battlefield an annual franchise, when I don't, maybe it shouldn't be, but we'll see.
We'll see indeed, because I'm also in that beta. I got my code today. By the time it was before it finished downloading, I got my Destiny code, and then I had to go make dinner. And then guess which one I played after dinner? It wasn't Battlefield. So I'll play that before the next podcast. We'll talk about it, and that'll be, you know, good, happy times. Infinity 2.0, getting an exclusive PlayStation Collector's Edition. That's really all I said about that. They mentioned how Destiny is getting exclusive content. I already mentioned that. They showed a very funny trailer for Magicka 2, which will be coming to PS4, and I believe PC as well. Magicka game's very fun, very creative, very solid, so that'll be good. That'll be good to have that on a console, I think. So at this point during the theater broadcast, the feed actually started to cut in and out. The screen was a jarbled mess of pixels, the speakers emitted a high-pitched sound designed to destroy human eardrums. And during this time, they were showing a letter from some child. I'm trying to read this letter, but I can't because the camera's frozen and the screen's all garbled. But I could just make out the name Tim Schafer. And then I saw something about adventure games, and I've never played them. And then the sound suddenly came back on. The guy on stage said something about it being 15 years. And then I started to put the pieces together. I thought to myself, well, Tim Schafer made adventure games. He's made some good ones. He made Grim Fandango. Grim Fandango is 16 years ago, but this guy could be bad at math. Oh my god. They're going to announce a new Grim Fandango or a remake or something. Something. And all of a sudden, the feed kicked back in as the Grim Fandango music started to play, and they announced a remastered Grim Fandango launching first on PlayStation 4 and Vita. Oh my god, yes. 1,000 times, yes, I say to you. I will buy this on every platform for which it's released. Because they did say, well, Tim Schafer said on Twitter, it's coming to other things too. I will buy this on PlayStation 4. I will buy this on Vita. I will buy this on Xbox One. I will buy this on PC. So that whenever I want, no matter what I'm doing, I can just say, hey, I'm going to play Grim Fandango. Because, people, Grim Fandango is the best game in the world. Now, I know it's kind of a sad thing to say, because it is a remake of a 16-year-old game. But this was my E3 moment this year. I was in the middle of that theater, and I lost my shit. Like, people, like, whooped and cheered, and, like, you know, as they did after a lot of these trailers, I was screaming at the top of my lungs in excitement. I cannot express to you how happy I was to hear that this is actually a thing. Because I've wanted this to be a thing for at least the last 7 years, since downloadable games became a thing. Since GOG became a thing. Since Disney bought LucasArts. Every time something happened to shift the industry ever so slightly, my secret hope has always been that it would lead to just a re-release of Grim Fandango so that when I want to play it, I don't have to, like, spend 4 hours setting it up. And it's gonna happen. I'm gonna have it on my Vita. Maybe it'll come to my iPad. I don't know. I don't care. I'm going to have it on all these things. And that makes me really, really, really happy. So hooray. We're getting Grim Fandango. It was incredible. Indie game montage after that. Then there was Let It Die, which is a Suda51 game. And I don't mean to be dismissive, but I have a history of Suda51 games and thinking they're a lot of show and no substance. And this kind of looked like that. I mean, it looked like, what was the cel-shaded very violent game he made. It looked like that, but without the cel shading and multiplayer. Again, it might be fun for 10 minutes to get old. Maybe it's really good. I don't know. Not my cup of tea, but I won't say poo to it if you like it. They then showed a lovely indie game called Abzu from a lot of the people who worked on Flower and Flow and Journey. It's very abstract, but I think it's going to look or play really well. I mean, that team has such a great pedigree. That'll be great. So then we get to what a lot of people, and from my viewing experience from home, I'm tempted to agree, what people call the game of the show, No Man's Sky. This is going to be amazing if it lives up to what I have in my head. And so far, I have no reason to doubt it based on what they've shown and what they've talked about. 4 people have created an engine that procedurally generates a galaxy. And just there, that moment in the trailer when they're in a dogfight in space and the enemy ships take off to a nearby planet and they chase them, and you can, as you get close to the planet, you start to see terrain features and then you're just there. There was no, like, breaking the atmosphere in a flash of white to, like, hide the fact that we're loading in an environment. Like, it fully had that planet modeled, and it just picked up where they happen to land towards. And apparently the way this game works is, yes, it is possible to run into other people playing online. But they said the odds of that happening, because of the size of the galaxy, are remarkably slim. In theory, 1 million people could be playing this game, and all 1 million people could be on the same planet, and they won't see each other, because it's the size of a planet. That's just so neat to me. I mean, at the same time, it's like, well, why bother having that multiplayer connection at all if we're not going to see each other? But where it does become interesting is if you're the first person to find something, you have the option of keeping it to yourself or marking it on a kind of global community galaxy map, and you'll get to name the planet, and it'll be forever labeled as discovered by you. And a lot of people have said, oh, what's the point of this game? Is it going to have a goal or an objective? To me, if it's just a roguelike in space where I'm trying to reach the center of this galaxy and I'm finding cool shit along the way, that might be enough. It, just to have my own kind of emergent solo Star Trek. I think it looks phenomenal. The art design is gorgeous, bright and colorful. It just, the scale of it is just so impressive. And to see that it came from four people whose office got flooded. They almost lost the game in a flood. And kudos to them for getting up on the big stage like that, too. It's just really neat. Then was Morphed. What's Morphed? I wrote down Morphed. I don't remember what Morphed is. I'm going to look it up. But while I'm looking that up, we got to, I started to get to a slow point in the whole PlayStation conference, because it's funny, unlike Microsoft, where everyone kind of expected the TV talk and the numbers and all this nonsense. Oh, Morpheus. That's funny. Stupid autocorrect. Okay, Morpheus was briefly mentioned. Really nothing worth getting into. But yeah, so everyone thought, like, Microsoft do all that shit, and they didn't. And then Sony did. Sony just, the conference really kind of grounded to a halt here. Like, just almost, like, that theater, if that was any indication, like, it was dead quiet in there. Like, everyone just shut down. Kind of an odd move on their part. They announced YouTube coming to the share button, interactive Twitch, but they were super vague in what that means. They talked about free-to-play, and then immediately, like, there's a little thing, like, fees are required to access certain features. I'm like, okay. They, you know, just kind of talked a little bit about PlayStation Now. I mean, the big thing there was they announced the PlayStation TV coming to you know, the West. Not the Vita TV, mind you, the PlayStation TV. So that shows you how much confidence they have in that brand. But still, you know, nice to have it. I wouldn't mind getting it for $100 and putting it in my living room. So in theory, I could stream my PS4 upstairs. That, you know, that's cool. They went on, kind of sensing maybe they needed something to pick up the pace a little bit. They then showed gameplay of Mortal Kombat 10. This is going to be fun. I mean, we're all kind of jaded, desensitized. We see a lot of violence in video games. So for a game, and it's nice that it is Mortal Kombat, to have everyone in that theater I was in cringing and just gasping at the level of violence on display was kind of cool. I'm looking very forward to that. Then we got to what I call the absolute low point of this conference, where they talked about Powers, which is their exclusive animated series based off the comic book coming to PlayStation, free to PlayStation Plus subscribers. I have nothing against that. That's actually fine. Cool, even. But my God, this guy just rambled on and on like he didn't think about what he was going to say the night before. He announced that he was going to now show us some concept art. I'm like, what is going on? Leave the stage. We saw a trailer for the Ratchet and Clank movie. They're remastering the first Ratchet and Clank game for PS4. Then we got to The Last of Us PS4 remaster, which, again, you know, we know about it, but it was just nice to see what it's going to look like on PS4. We got the Metal Gear Solid 5 trailer, and I'm glad to say it was actually a trailer, not just a cutscene from the game. Very disconnected, hard to tell what the hell's going on, but the song was cool, the graphics are great. You know, going back to Ground Zeroes, I like the gameplay of Ground Zeroes. I just didn't think there was much to do for, you know, $30 of content, so I'm excited for Metal Gear Solid 5, so I'll be certain to check it out. We then got, you know, shocker, GTA 5 coming to the current gen console. They obviously talk about PS4, but it is coming to Xbox One and PC as well. So that'll be good. Then we got to see gameplay of Batman Arkham Knight. Wow. I'm so bummed this got delayed now because it looks so good. I've heard people describe the kind of interplay between Batman and the Batmobile as Blaster Master, and I'm totally on board with that because Blaster Master was awesome. But, you know, this game starts with what looks like what were like the CG trailers in the other Arkham games, but then that's the game. Look, just stunning. It's the Batman games. I mean, they're phenomenal. Made by Rocksteady. Those guys know what they're doing. That's going to be a fantastic game. And then Sony ended their conference with an in-game, in-engine, real-time on a PS4 teaser trailer for Uncharted 4. Wow. It just looks so good. I mean, the stubble, people. Just, next gen is here. We have stubble. I mean, we don't know anything. Apparently, you know, Nathan's going to do something dangerous and desperate, and Sully's going to be there, and yeah, but I mean, trust me, that theater was roaring with approval at the end of that trailer. So, and you might have guessed this, but Mike's excited too. So looking very forward to that. It'll be happy good times. So that was Sony. Yeah, like I said, aside for that lull in kind of the middle there, and again, another great show. I mean, we're seeing a lot of games that I'm going to want to play. Makes me very, very happy. These are all very solid. A lot of good stuff coming out. I am a happy gamer. So now I'm going to shift my attention to Nintendo. They have not done their like a traditional E3 stage show, instead just doing a digital event, which I think suits them because, you know, they did the Robot Chicken thing, which is really fun. It just let them put together some fun video packages. So, you know, it was a good showing. The presentation was good, and what they showed was great. So we saw Smash Brothers. I mean, no surprise there. I'll skip ahead. The end, they ended with Lady Palutena from Kid Icarus being a playable character. We also later found out that Pac-Man will be a playable character. And they didn't like officially announce it, but they did tease Mr. Game & Watch coming back as well. And actually, yesterday, we were at Best Buy's event to play Smash Brothers. I got to play it on 3DS and Wii U. It's Smash Brothers. It's going to be phenomenal. It looks great in HD. I'm very glad that GameCube controller adapter's a thing because, I mean, it took by the end I was fine, but that first time you have a pro controller in your hand, you're hitting all the wrong buttons. Like, you mean to jump and you're attacking, and it was just goofy, but it was fine. I played as Mega Man. I tried out Villager from Animal Crossing. I tried out Samus to see if they kind of unnerfed her a little bit. Everything felt great. You know, Sonic felt a lot better. I played him on the 3DS version. Very excited for that game. Then they announced their long-rumored toy line called Amiibo. Much like Skylanders and Disney Infinities, these are Nintendo-themed figurines that utilize the NFC on the gamepad, and they're going to work with Smash Brothers, and eventually they'll patch in support for Mario Kart 8. I don't know what they're going to exactly do. Like, you don't want them, like, unbalancing the game in Smash Brothers. But, you know, if it's, like, cosmetic stuff, like, if you can unlock an outfit for Mario that you then can also wear in Mario Kart, that's pretty cool. I didn't say, too, the Miis are coming to Smash Brothers. And they're doing a clever thing where there's actually three different Mii archetypes, like a fisticuffs, a blaster, and a sword. So that's kind of a neat way to just kind of get them in there and not have them be completely bland. Like, it's basically three characters. Then we saw Yoshi got auto-corrected to Toshiba Woolly World. I don't think that's quite accurate. Yoshi Woolly World, which is in some ways a spiritual successor to Kirby Epic Yarn in visual style only. Really, it looks like it's going to play just like a kind of, you know, Yoshi game would. You're sucking up things instead of pooping out eggs. You're pooping up balls of yarn. The way it carries its aesthetic throughout is really cool, really clever. They then showed Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, which I'm a little worried it's going to feel like kind of just a very fancy-looking iPad game. But at the same time, I mean, the idea is not bad. It's just you're Toad in these little micro-levels trying to get from A to B and manipulating the camera so you could, like, kind of move and see things. It honestly kind of reminds me of Echo Chrome, but less abstract. But just looks adorable. Look at Toad just merrily walking about, finding treasures. Then we got the reason we all really wanted to watch this thing. We wanted to see if they'd do it, and yes, they did. New Legend of Zelda. Open world. Looks gorgeous. I mean, It kind of looks like Skyrim meets Zelda, and I'm totally down with that. Are you noticing a trend in a lot of games at E3 this year, by the way? But that, I mean, it's such a, I love the explanation Anuma had for it, is that, you know, the original NES Zelda was an open world where you could move around and go wherever you could go. And when they got to the 3D games, you lost that because you did have those, like, corridors that took you to Kakariko Village or to the Zora's Domain. And now it can just be one open, continuous world again. Also, it should be pointed out, Mike did a very smart thing in his interview with Anuma. He got him to admit that no one ever said that was Link in that trailer. And, you know, the debate rages on. Some people think it's a female character. Some think it maybe it's Link's son or daughter from Wind Waker. Could be anything. Very excited to see what that game holds. They showed a trailer for the Pokemon remakes. It's Pokemon. Bayonetta 2 was shown. Now, again, I'll admit, I'm not the biggest Bayonetta fan, but I will say, if you are a Bayonetta fan, you should be very excited, because not only are you getting Bayonetta 2, but they announced that they have remastered the original Bayonetta for the Wii U with a bunch of Nintendo, like, outfits and Easter eggs and stuff like that. So that, for $60, is going to be great for if you're into it. You know, I'll try to check it out. I'll give it another chance. It's just, you know, I'm not a big Japanese action game fan. But I'll concede, you know, it's a great thing if you're a fan of that. Same thing goes for Hyrule Warriors. I mean, it's Zelda, but it's really Dynasty Warriors. And again, that doesn't do anything for me. But maybe it'll be fun. So, when the DS was struggling, there was one little piece of software that finally sold the system to a lot of people, and that was Kirby's Canvas Curse. So maybe it'll work again, because they've announced Kirby Rainbow Curse. Same basic gameplay, you're drawing lines for Kirby to roll on, but it has kind of Play-Doh claymation aesthetic to it. And I love the original Canvas Curse, so I'm looking very forward to this. We then got a trailer for Xenoblade Chronicle X, which, again, Xeno Saga on the Wii was great. My biggest complaint of that game was that it wasn't HD, because it should have been a gorgeous-looking game otherwise. So it'll be really, really nice to have that game out. I think it's going to be fun. I'll definitely check it out. Mario Maker was shown. Now, this was rumored, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's just a little tool that lets you make your own Mario levels. And you can switch in real time between 8-bit Mario graphics and kind of the new Super Mario Brothers style of 3D graphics. And Mike try this out, and he said a very smart thing, like, I'm not going to sit down and, like, make a Little Big Planet level or make something in Project Spark, but I can make a Mario level in, like, 10 minutes, and he's right, like, you know, it's just drag and drop. Hopefully there's more palettes to it than what they've shown, otherwise it's going to all feel very familiar, but I like this idea. I like, you know, the thought of being able to make your own Mario levels. It's great. Splatoon, the big surprise, where Nintendo, as they do every year, announce at least one new IP. Actually, they announced several. We'll get to it. But this is what happens when Nintendo looks at the online multiplayer shooter space and says, what do we do with this? I mean, yeah, maybe they're like 10 years late to the party, but they have this very cool-looking game where your goal is not to kill enemies, but to cover the level in your team's paint. And when you have your paint active, you can turn into a squid, because why not, and swim through it very quickly. The gamepad is a map that lets you very quickly and visually see if a team is winning or not, and allows you to instantly jump to any of your team members anywhere in the map. My only fear with this game, I haven't seen enough to make me think, oh yeah, $60, sure thing. If it ends up being like a $30 downloadable title, that'll be a no-brainer. I think it looks super fun. So that was like really the end of the show, except they teased and then later talked more about a new Star Fox. Sounds like we won't be playing this for a very long time. But what it's going to be is a game where you're flying your ship with the sticks, and the gamepad is showing a cockpit view, and you aim the reticule with the gyro sensor independent of the ship. I mean, that sounds great. It's just they didn't have much to show, so I'm afraid we won't be playing this even until 2016, maybe. We'll see. Then Nintendo, like, I don't know why they did it this way, but they have, like, this closed-door panel where they announce a game called Codename Steam, which is a new strategy RPG coming from Intelligent System, the guys who make Advance Wars and Fire Emblem, that is using a cel-shaded kind of American comic book style, set in an alternate history Civil War era where everything's powered by steam engines and you're fighting aliens. And kind of like Valkyria Chronicles, you don't play from an overhead map, you're playing turn-based, third-person, kind of like a shooter. That sounds awesome. I mean, give it to me now. But they've released three screenshots that I've seen so far and nothing else. I don't know why they're being so like cagey about it. But the concept sounds great, so hopefully it lives up to that. Now, I'm going to play two different calls from Mike back-to-back. One is him after watching the show, and then another is him after he played the games. Let's see if you notice a difference.
Hey, it's Mike. Just watching Nintendo's press conference. I thought they did a good job showing a lot of good games. I always said I thought they needed to do something really big here. I don't know if they did anything really big. We got the new Zelda announcement, and that's cool. Canvas for people, that's actually great. But, I'm still not sure if just more software is the answer to their problems. And that Amiibo thing confused me a little bit. So, I thought it was a good show from Nintendo, but I don't know if it was the big breakout that they needed. I wasn't going to see them have a sense of humor about a lot of things. But I'm not sure exactly what to think. I'm going to go see their booth today. I'm going to go interview Noma about Zelda, so we'll see what happens. Hey, I'm actually just waiting for the bus to go to E3. Hey, it's pulling in right now. Just want to give you guys heads up. Day two. It was at Nintendo all day yesterday. You know, all that first party stuff, Yoshi, Kirby, Toad, even that Splatoon, that was a big surprise. It was all very fun. And Smash Brothers, though, got to play with all the new characters. Everyone knows I love Smash Brothers. I could be playing that all 3 days of this show. It was just fantastic. So, talk to you guys soon. Have fun.
And I guess that's why, no matter what Nintendo shows, you always have to kind of, not count them out until you've played it. So, yeah, that was the big three. I mean, just a few little grab bag things, I guess I'll hit on real quick. EA's conference was kind of weird because there was a lot of conceptual prototypes, which kind of a bummer to see stuff being so far out. And that was kind of the one thing about E3 that a lot of people were worried about. Maybe it rang true to a certain extent, but it's a lot of stuff that's a long ways off. 2015 at the earliest, maybe longer. And, Matt Jaguar, another longtime listener of the show, kind of shares my sentiment.
Hey, Exploding Barrel Podcast. This is Matt Jaguar, Jiggy Thumb on Twitter, calling in for the E3 Week Podcast, helping out HGAC, just because I it's E3 Week. Why not share? So, yeah, E3 2014. I think it's been a really good show this year, despite all the, needing a bucket to catch all the leaks from the sinking ship that is E3, but hey, whatever. And a lot of stuff coming out way later, not in 2014, but hey, the horizon looks very bright. I will say I'm excited that there's a new Mass Effect coming out. The conceptual prototype looks interesting, same with Mirror's Edge. And I'm really excited all the Nintendo stuff, especially New Zelda. If they get that same kind of island to island, like a giant overworld map, and it's that same kind of thing, and it's like almost like a Elder Scrolls Morrowind or Oblivion or Skyrim kind of game where it's, open world, go wherever you want. And it's like the Zelda setting. My God, I don't think I could take that, but I will, because it's just like, fucking Zelda, man. And yeah, new IP from Nintendo, Splatoon, looks absolutely crazy. What if we had a shooter with squids, or you could change to a squid? I'm like, my God. Sony has some cool stuff, again, all coming later. Microsoft has some cool stuff, all coming later. I really doubt a lot of these 2015 things are going to come out in 2015. It seems like Crackdown and and the name escapes me, but the new From Software, Demon Souls, spiritual successor. Yeah, those seems like 2016 games, but who knows. But yeah, I'm really excited for what's coming up. Not going to get a PS4 or an Xbox One anytime soon, so maybe in 2015. Hey, but great podcast. Looking forward to the Edge Guy show. I'm going to miss not having a Mike Minotti show this year, but hey, whatever. So keep on gaming.
I will do that, Matt, and please try not to lose any more teeth. But in all seriousness, yeah, I agree. If you don't have these consoles, there may not have been anything to like make you want to rush out and buy one right now. But as someone who does have both consoles, I'm a happy camper after the C3. We saw a lot of great stuff. And yeah, like the Mass Effect, like vaguely talking about Mass Effect 4 and then saying, we're working on another game. That's it. Like, yeah, it's nothing like you're not going to be like, well, I better go buy my Xbox One now so I can play it. But it's good to know that stuff's on the horizon. It's also good to know that Battlefront, the Star Wars Battlefront, is looking the way it does, because, man, that tiny little snippet they showed, it looks real. I'm going to do that. I want to ride a speeder bike through Endor and have it look that good. We're going to, apparently, maybe. I mean, again, take these things with a grain of salt. We don't want to re-watchdog ourselves. So we're going to kind of start wrapping it up now because my mouth is dry as shit. Oh my god. Garnet Lee, how do you do this? This is hard. It's a lot of talking. I'm going to get in a call now from Jeff Grubb because I told you how much Mike liked Evolve. And maybe there's a reason for that.
Okay, it's Jeff Grubb calling in. I'm sorry if it's too loud in here. Actually, I'm not sorry. Deal with it. It's Thursday, V3. I don't care anymore. I just want to call in to say Mike's wrong. He's going to say Evolve is where you go, and you wait in the line for 2-3 days.
Hours,
days, it felt like days. And then once you get there, you chase Mike around the stage for 5 minutes while he levels up, while he's the monster, and then he kills you. It was a jogging simulator and then death for me. So he's wrong. Game of the show is, I mean, I only saw 15 minutes of No Man's Sky, maybe, but I also really like Dragon Age. It was a good show. Lots of things that weren't here that I was kind of hoping we'd see. I think it's weird that we didn't see games like Mad Max and Final Fantasy XV. A lot of games from Nintendo look good, but they're also slipping into 2015. It was a good show. I'm glad we were here. Glad we saw some good stuff. Seems like everyone kind of knows what they're doing. Everyone kind of did what they needed to do. Microsoft was game. No one was too excited about it, but it's kind of what they had to do. Sony came out showing like, yeah, we still have all these indie games while you're waiting for, the big games next year. And Nintendo kind of got some buzz going, even if they still can put their foot in their mouth. But yeah, we're going to go have giant beers now and enjoy our flight home tonight at midnight. So yeah, thanks for listening to me mumble and to the Exploding Barrel Podcast Hotline. All right, AJ, have a good one. Bye.
And this just proves my point that Mike Minotti is a monster and must be stopped. I'm going to let Mike get his last call in right now. He just kind of ended his E3 week by checking out Warner Brothers, where he saw some of their games. And he also today participated in a Street Fighter 4 tournament. And despite the rigorous training regimen I put him on, he did not last long. But if you go to twitch.tv/CapcomFighters, they should have the broadcast saved. You could watch as Michael looks at you in the camera to say hi. And not me and our friends. But I'll let Mike kind of give his final thoughts before we get him back here next week.
Hey, it's Mike again. End of the last day where I'm at just eating with Jeff. We're at a restaurant in LA Live. I saw a lot of things today. I was busy, when I was getting my butt kicked in Street Fighter. But, I spent a lot of time in the Warner Brothers booth and I got to see some games. It was just absolutely awesome. Mortal Kombat, I got to play. There's 4 new characters besides Scorpion and Sub-Zero. I mean, like, new characters in the series. I got to face Kali where I cut a guy's face off and watch his brain split out. That was interesting. But I got to play, like, 30 minutes of Shadow Mordor. And it was just really cool. One of my favorite things about it, your mouse was, like, super agile. I was basically on a ward. And, wait a second. I'm like, did you order for me? I need to say no. Mushrooms. Hey, I sorry. Have fun editing that. We're doing it live, baby, but yeah, you're on a warg and you can kind of run around and he can, like, jump over mountains and cliffs and, just much more agile than, like, you know how Disney had like a horse in Assassin's Creed, it like never wants to go where you want to go. So that specifically was cool. Everything else about it was cool. You've probably seen already in trailer and stuff. But yeah, I got a lot of other things I'm going to talk about when I'm back home next week on the show. So until then, have a good time. Good luck being by yourself. That's guy, you'll need it.
See, Mike, I don't need you. I could do this myself. In fact, all the exploding barrels would be by myself, and you could just call in like a noob. That's not fair, because it's like I'm calling everyone else a noob. You guys aren't noobs. He's a noob, because he sucks. Anyway, let's wrap up E3, because it's time. So, we saw a lot of games at E3 this year. A lot of games. Some of them are far off. Some of them are coming this year. And I know, like, everyone's like, oh, great, grade the conferences. I gave that one, a B minus to a C plus. Or, you know, that was a D. Terrible. Why would I buy these consoles? And I guess that's my great advantage in not actually being a member of the press. I am just literally a guy who plays video games and knows how to make a podcast, so he makes one, because why not? So I can just sit here and tell you, I thought everything, on the whole, was fantastic. Yes, I own an Xbox One, I own a PlayStation 4, and I own a Wii U. And I have those systems because I'm a gamer. I love playing games. It is my hobby of choice. And that's why, like, I bought those consoles at launch, not knowing what really the future held, because that's what you do. I don't know. When you're into this hobby, that's kind of what you do. And as someone who is into the hobby, who has the hardware I need, to look at all three companies and all three of their lineups, and just to see what's on the horizon, I am super excited. We are getting some fantastic-looking games across a wide variety of genres. I mean, the JRPG between the Vita, 3DS, and even the Wii U is making a pretty good comeback. Multiplayer is taking off in a great way. Co-op is fantastic. The whole concept of this 4-versus-1 co-op is really great. We have shooters still. We'll always have shooters. But we have great-looking indie games. We have great platformers. We have great strategy games. And there's literally something for everybody that was shown at this E3. That if you watched this whole E3 and you didn't see at least a handful of games to make you say, like, have something to look forward to, have something to be excited about, maybe this isn't the hobby for you. I don't know. I really don't know what to say, because I am a happy camper. I just saw game after game that I'm putting in my mental list of, yep, gonna buy that. Yep, gonna buy that. Yep, gonna buy that. Holy shit, Grim Fandango, gonna buy 5 of them. Like, it's just a great time to be a gamer. We have great consoles right now. Their online integration is great. We have great community features in all these consoles. It's just a really great time to be into this hobby, and I could not be more excited about it. So, that was E3. We did it. We survived. I worked really hard watching Twitch in my basement. But, like I said, Mike will be back next week. He was there all week. I'm sure he's got a ton of stuff to tell us. A lot of stuff he saw. I mean, he got to interview people. He got to meet all kinds of developers and other journalists. And I'm sure he'll have a lot to say. So I just want to wrap up the show with a quick look at some games I've been checking out this week. EA showed their new MOBA, Dawngate, that was released. And it's in open beta. So, I'm like, okay, well, I'm still waiting for Heroes of the Storm. I was starting to get actually back in League of Legends just because I'm kind of getting like this MOBA itch. And I really wanted to be playing Heroes of the Storm. So, I started playing LoL, and then I was just like, okay, I'll check this out. And as far as MOBAs go, Dawngate has the most in common with League of Legends. Like, it's not as hardcore as Dota 2, where you have denying and couriers for items. But there is a shop, there is last hitting. But it was interesting in that it is 2 lanes instead of the usual 3. So that kind of changed the balance of it a lot. Their big thing is that they're very high on their lore. It wasn't super apparent to me. I think you have to go read stuff, and then basically the community just votes like a giant choose-your-own-adventure novel on what happens next. If that's all it is, I don't see anything great about that. But, you know, it seems solid, seemed good. I could see myself liking it. I don't know if this is just because it's still early, but there's no AI. So you're forced, the first time you play it, to play against five other humans. And, man, we just got our asses handed to us. But funny thing, because the very next day, I got into the Heroes of the Storm technical alpha, and I am here to tell you that that game is hot shit. If you like the idea of a MOBA, but you just have a hard time cracking that egg, this is the game for you. I'm convinced of it. You don't have to worry about stores. You don't have to level up individual skills and worry that you're building your character wrong. You don't have to worry about being the bottom of your team because your team levels up with you. As you're leveling, every so often you get to choose a talent. Generally, it's one is kind of more defensive, one's more offensive. When you hit level 10, you choose one of two ultimate abilities. And that's where the adaptability comes from. Because like I've read item buying strategies for Dota 2, and they're like, you know, if your team has picked up this item, you should counter it by getting this item, which will give you 1% critical chance. And I'm like, what does that mean? But this, you know, it's very straightforward. Are you having a hard time staying alive? Well, choose this buff that when you kill minions, you heal some health. There you go. Are you finding you're doing okay with survivability, but you're not really hitting enough damage? Do this. That'll just add to your, let you do splash damage on your attacks or something. Very straightforward. That's what I like about it. It feels very intuitive compared to other MOBAs, where it really is just kind of rote memorization. The world events, which I was worried based on some stuff I've read about this game or heard about it, would kind of like make it very apparent in the beginning which team was going to win or lose. I didn't find that to be the case. We actually played a game where we were playing against AI with, you know, four pickup group guys, and we were behind. We lost the world event thing twice. It wasn't really looking great. And then we got our shit together, won the world event two times, which was collecting skulls to build these golems that attack for our team. And we ended up winning the match in the end, and it was a great comeback, and I thought it was super fun. So I am so on board with that game. I mean, I love crossovers, and I know who all these Blizzard characters are, so I have that affinity for them. And I will say, they have this very nice mechanic where you're looking in the shop, and you can try any hero, where it puts you just on a one-lane map. You choose to spawn in minions. You have one hero who's with you, another hero for you to fight, and you can just click a button to level up. You can reset your level. You can reset the towers. Just so you can play with that character to make sure you like them before you consider spending $7 on them or whatever. So I did that with a bunch of characters just to kind of get a feel of the game and who I liked. And they had a bundle where it was 10 heroes for like $28. And I said, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. Bought the bundle. I mean, it's going to get reset. Kind of like they did with Hearthstone, once it gets out of alpha into probably like a closer beta phase. And I'll just get that money refunded to my Battle.net account, and then I'll just, you know, either buy the bundle again or buy something else even. So, you know, you could sign up for this technical alpha, as they're calling it. And I mean, for an alpha, wow, this is polished. It's really, really polished. And I just think it's really fun. People are going to like this game. I'll also talk real quick about Thief. I got it from Gamefly, so this is a little bit older. It was solid. I mean, it was enough to like make me want to finish it or buy it. I'm glad like I played like through the first few chapters on my rental. It looks great. The interplay of light and dark is really good. Just the only problem I really have with really a lot of stealth-based games is that it's hard to intuitively know the outcome of your planned actions. Like, you think a guy's not going to see you, and for some reason he did, and you don't know why he did. Or you think if you, like, walk towards this ledge and, you know, a certain way you're going to jump, but you fall to the ground and kill yourself. Goofy stuff like that, which, you know, it's a problem in the Assassin's Creed games. It was a problem here. But there's a lot to like about it. I feel like this is a game that, and it's $30 and there's nothing else to play, you could do worse. So just for the sake of tradition, I guess I'll go ahead and look at the new releases for the week, and then we'll wrap this puppy up. So, coming out this week, Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix Hyper Edition EX Plus Alpha. Just because I like saying it. Entwined for the PS4. Shadows on the Vatican, Act 1, Greed. You're an ex-priest who investigates the Vatican. Okay. Anything else? How to Train Your Dragon 2 has a game. I'm sure it's not good. 1001 Spikes is out on the Xbox One. Transformers Rise of the Dark Spark. Wow, there's like a lot of junk coming out. Oh my god, there's like so much crap coming out this week. What's the deal? Anything else real? Broken Age came out to iPad, so you know, you get that. Yeah, I guess Nintendo selects versions of new Super Mario Bros. Wii and Super Mario Galaxy 2. No, there's like nothing else exciting coming out this week. Just a lot of shovelware. All right, well, hey, we did it. That one's so bad. All right, for reals though, thank you for tuning in to the Exploding Brutal Podcast E3 extravaganza starring Edge Guy. I'd like to thank Jeff, Matt, and Muhammad for calling into the show. I don't thank you, Mike. You're supposed to call on the show. It's your job. But yeah, so we'll have Mike back next week. We'll kind of lay E3 to rest and talk more about Destiny and Battlefield Hardline and other things. And we will see you next week. Until then, be sure to check us out online at ebpodcast.com. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook and Google+, by searching for Exploding Barrel. And check us out on the iTunes Music Store, where you can subscribe, leave us a review if you're so inclined. We're also, I guess we should mention this, we're on Stitcher, if that's how you prefer to consume your podcasts or cast your pods or whatever. And we will see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. This is usually where then, after Mike says that, I say goodbye. So, goodbye.